Three of the leading threats to global public health as we battle the coronavirus are hubris, isolationism, and distrust. In other words, our attitudes shape our response to the pandemic. Those are the views of Professor Wendy Parmet, Director of the Center for Health Policy and Law at Northeastern University, who joins us now. Good morning, Professor. Thanks for speaking with WBUR's Morning Edition.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So break this down for us, if you would. Hubris, isolationism, and distrust. What do you mean?
Well, by hubris, I think when we think about Massachusetts, we have many of the world's leading hospitals and a vibrant life sciences community. But we tend to think that all of that could save us, that our high technology medicine and our innovative pharmaceuticals will keep us healthy. But despite all the warnings, the United States and Massachusetts really did not do the preparation that was needed in advance of this pandemic and have not for years invested in the kind of basic public health infrastructure, the basic public health functions, contact tracing, and we could go on and on of all the things that are needed and we're seeing so clearly now that needed to be done.
So are you saying that we were too naive, we were too confident in the system?
I think we were too confident in our own medical marvels that pandemics, plagues were, you know, relics from a bygone era when we didn't have the kind of medicine and medical prowess that we have today.
All right. Isolationism.
Well, I think that's very clear to see on the national level. Isolationism has really framed the U.S. response. First, the public ignored the virus. It was something happening over there, far away China. And the president, you know, back in the end of January, issued a travel ban from China, but for Chinese. And then he went on and issued a travel ban that was imposed on Iranians and later Europeans, as if the virus carried a passport and as if just keeping those people out would solve our problem. And we even, in fact, limited testing for so long to people coming back from China. And so we missed the fact that the virus was spreading widely in our own communities, and we failed to do the preparation that we needed to be done to keep us safe when it became highly prevalent here, because we just relied on this belief that somehow it's over there and we could keep it out. The isolationism went so far that the president refused to take the tests the WHO had created because it had to be American-only tests, even when our tests were failed.
And distrust. We don't trust what our government officials, what our scientists are telling us. Is that what you mean?
Well, absolutely. We don't trust what scientists are saying. We don't trust what government is saying. Our government officials don't trust what science and the experts are saying. And in all of this time of distrust, you know, that makes it hard for the public to know what to believe. I think it helps explain why warnings are going on unheeded. You know, one minute you hear that this is contained or it's no worse than the flu, well, why stay at home, right? So people, you know, partied on the beaches in Florida when others were saying you really need to stay at home and practice social distancing. Distrust is always a critical factor in public health response. And unfortunately for us, this pandemic hit it at a moment of deep distrust in our society.
And the pandemic also exposed problems. I think you believe in public health policy right down to the public messaging about what's going on.
Right. Well, we need messaging to be clear. We need it to be consistent and grounded on science. But people also need to know that the government has people's back, right, that there's a plan. What's the plan, right? Take a example that's been talked about a lot, you know, the hoarding of toilet paper, the shortages of toilet paper, people running around searching for toilet paper. Well, people don't understand what's the plan. How are we going to get vital supplies? If I stay home, can I be assured that supplies will be there when I need it? If there was greater communication, transparency, and people had a sense that the government had a plan moving forward, I think we might see greater compliance and less fear.
So let me ask you one more question, if I might, Professor Parmet. None of these have easy fixes, but how do we start?
They don't have easy fixes, and it's hard to start in the middle of the storm. So certainly we need to learn and do better next time, because there will be a next time. But right now, I really hope that government officials, and we're starting to see this somewhat, particularly at the state level, because it just may not be coming from the federal level, really become more transparent about information, be more forthcoming, develop the plans, tell people, here's what the next month's going to look like, here's how you're going to get vital supplies, here's how we're dealing with the healthcare surge. We're beginning to see some of it, but we're playing catch-up. The other thing about isolationism, that really can't be done at the state level, but we really do need the states to work together. We're seeing some of that now, instead of the states sort of replicating what the federal government was doing, and, you know, each state for themselves. We need to have our leaders work together, develop plans, be transparent, and level with the Americans.
Well, we are seeing a little bit of that as states where the pandemic is easing a little bit are sending medical equipment to states where the surge is still ahead. Professor Wendy Parmet, Director of the Center for Health Policy and Law at Northeastern University, thank you very much for speaking to WBUR's Morning Edition today about this.
Great to be with you.